Of course I could back it up for sure, but I wasn't going to, no matter how good confession might be for the soul. Instead, I dropped the folder onto her desk. "The facts speak for themselves," I said. "There's absolutely no question about it." And of course, there wasn't any question at all, as only I knew very well. "Look," I told her, and pulled out a page of carefully selected comparisons I had typed out. "First, this victim is male. All the others were female. This victim was found off Old Cutler. All of Mikhail's victims were off Tamiami Trail. This victim was found relatively intact and in the spot where he was killed. Mikhail's victims were completely chopped up, and they were moved to a different location for disposal." I went on, and she listened carefully. The list was a good one. It had taken me several hours to come up with the most obvious, ludicrous, transparently foolish comparisons, and I must say, I did a very good job. And La Guerta did her part wonderfully, too. She bought the whole thing. Of course, she was hearing what she wanted to hear. "To sum up," I said, "this new murder has the fingerprint of a revenge killing, probably drug-related. The guy in jail did the other murders, and they are absolutely, positively, 100% finished and over forever. Never happen again. Case closed." I dropped the folder on her desk and held out my list. She took the paper from me and looked at it for a long moment. She frowned. Her eyes moved up and down the page a few times. One corner of her lower lip twitched. Then she placed it carefully on her desk under a heavy jade-green stapler. "Okay," she said, straightening the stapler so it was perfectly aligned with the edge of her blotter. "Okay, pretty good. This should help." She looked at me again with her frown of concentration still stitched in place, and then suddenly smiled. "Okay. Thank you, Dexter." It was such an unexpected and genuine smile that if I only had a soul, I'm sure I would have felt quite guilty. She stood, still smiling, and before I could retreat, she had flung her arms around my neck to give me a hug. "I really do appreciate it," she said. "You make me feel very grateful." And she rubbed her body against mine in a way that could only be called suggestive. Surely there could be no question of, I mean, here she was, a defender of public morality, and yet right here in public, and even in the privacy of a bank vault, I would have been truly uninterested in being rubbed by her body. Not to mention the fact that I had just handed her a rope with the hope that she would use it to hang herself, which hardly seemed like the sort of thing one would celebrate by, well, really, had the whole world gone mad? What is it with humans? Is this all any of them ever thinks about? Feeling something very close to panic, I tried to disentangle myself. "Please, detective." "Call me Migdia," she said, clinging and rubbing harder. She reached a hand down to the front of my pants, and I jumped. On the plus side, my action dislodged the amorous detective. On the negative side, she spun sideways, hit the desk with her hip, and tripped over her chair, landing sprawled out on the floor. I really have to get back to work," I stammered. "There's an important, However, I couldn't think of anything more important than running for my life, so I backed out of the cubicle, leaving her looking after me. It didn't seem to be a particularly friendly look.